So, Easter 4, Vocation Sunday. And I think my prayer has been that this will make some sort of sense to you. It did to me when I put it together. So let's see where we go with it. Let me launch in here, first of all, with two observations, one a joy and one not so much. It was a joy to discover a couple of years ago that the old Catholics have their Vocation Sunday, the same Sunday as us, the Anglicans. Den Weltgebetstag, geistliche Berufung. That shouldn't really have surprised me, as we do more or less share a lectionary, and the location of this focus is the presence of the Bible readings for this Sunday in the Easter season. So that was the joy. The not so much of the joy is the observation that in both churches, vocation is often, if not mostly now, driven by need. What do I mean by that? So here are some clues. If you go into an Anglican church physically or online or in the newsletters, and ditto, in fact, the old Catholic churches, you will find a list of what jobs need doing. And those of you who read the musings will know, and you'll see it in the next couple of days, I've made precisely that point in a slightly humorous way, I hope, that where are the gaps in what the church needs jobs doing? So at St. Catherine's, for instance, we could do with a young person on the council. That would be nice. We certainly desperately need a new safeguarding officer because ours has moved to Berlin. And we have other gaps that we would like closed. And in fact, some of the places that are not gaps at all, jobs being held and being done by very efficient and wonderfully generous people. But one can't assume that they will do those jobs forever, whether it's being the chaplaincy administrator or the treasurer or any other of the other roles. So why is this on my not so much list? Because vocation is not primarily about need, jobs that need doing. So let's look at some texts and key ideas. Our main texts for this Sunday are shepherding ones. And so it would seem, John 10, for instance, I'm the good shepherd, and then some expansion of that in the book of Acts reading, and then also the first epistle of John, a unifying thread there, being laying down of life, a central and indeed unique feature of Christ's shepherding, of Christ's leadership, of Christ's vocation. And then for our psalm, we have Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then from the Hebrew Bible, we have the covenant from Genesis, the Noah covenant. So shepherding and leadership as themes coming out of our scriptures. But I want to leave the scriptures, really. We look at those every year. And I want to locate us this year on Vocation Sunday a bit nearer our own time. Now, 3 days ago, as every 22nd of April now for the past 51 years, was Earth Day. The first Earth Day in 1970, there was a demonstration against the effects of industrial development. Not a demonstration against industrial development, a demonstration against the effects of industrial development. And this year, 51 years later, the theme Restore Our Earth had a focus much more around restoring ecosystems and giving support to emerging green technologies. And Germany invited its citizens this Earth Day to reflect on how their eating habits and their choices in buying both food and fashion had lasting effects, not only in fair trade terms, but also in environmental terms. The level of engagement with these issues is now unbelievably high compared to 51 years ago. And that is a great joy. And let me place alongside that Earth Day and engagement with green issues, let me place alongside a quote from an art critic. Art critic by the name of John Berger, died only about 3 or 4 years ago. And for art, please hear anything that is outside the realm of production and economic targets and outcome language. Really, not just art as in visual art, visible art. And he says this: art is born like a foal that can walk straight away. The talent to make art accompanies the need for that art. They arrive together. And historians who studied art in relation to crisis times like the First or Second World War would absolutely say that that is true. And then more recent, in our existential crisis, which we call the pandemic, here at St. Catharines, despite this strange pandemic life at present, there are many more people involved in resourcing and leading our worship and the broader age range too than ever before. And that is a joy and a gift, and indeed one that we must not go backwards on once we return to church-based worship and life. And there are stories in the Bible too, many of them, people like Gideon and Esther, and of course the more famous ones that we can all list, where unfolding of history gives birth to vocation. And that brings together this quote from the art critic John Berger, that a need in history, a need drives vocation and creativity. And so it is true in our own time. Now, aside from the pandemic, two of the biggest news stories at the present moment are the George Floyd trial and the institutional racism that goes with all that, and frankly, all the other isms that are there as well. And then the climate change summit linked to Earth Day that I've mentioned already. And in both these big challenges of our time, there have been an explosion in literature and other art forms. And much of it, no doubt, is white noise. And some of it is also nasty and poisonous and fake. And yet in there too is genuine quality, real voices, real passion, a discovery that passions are God-given and they give birth to vocation and allow people to flourish. So on this Vocation Sunday, I want to steer away, really, from the idea that vocation is somebody who decides to join the rota for wanting to read in church, as important and valuable as that is, or to be on the welcome team or anything else. And we value those people, of course we do. But I want to really widen our understanding of all that vocation can embrace. So let us pray, as the Old Catholic focus of vocation does. It's a day of prayer. Let us pray for all who are responding to that which God has placed within them, so that that can grow and bear fruit. And in the growing and in the bearing fruit, others may flourish also. That's our first prayer. And then our second prayer, that we may encourage our own youngsters as they explore what their passions are and how we as parents and adults that know them enable them to discover and articulate and grow in confidence to find the shape and form and value of their vocations. And actually, by helping them do that, we are being good shepherds in our turn, following the good example of the good shepherd. So that's the second prayer. And then the third prayer is that we might ourselves rediscover our own vocation, the value of knowing ourselves called by God through our baptism into vocation. And there is need for courage there too, as well as humility. From the time of Abraham onwards, God's covenant with him in Genesis 12 and God's purpose for his world has been to bless the world and to use his people to be instruments of that blessing. And as the scriptures have unfolded from the time of Abraham through many, many centuries and indeed millennia, the purpose of that blessing in God's world is for everyone in it, regardless of what we call that social construct we call race, regardless also of other boundaries and barriers that we put in place of people being able to flourish and to have access to God's blessing. So that is also in our prayers. And because it is, we need to perhaps extend it slightly, that healing may need for some people to come first, where the church or some other institution have hurt them, perhaps even by just saying that they have no vocation, they have no gifts, they have no voice, they have nothing to contribute. And what a sin that is to say that to any human being. So that also is a prayer that some people would find healing and would know themselves loved and called by God. And that once we know ourselves loved and called by God, there's a tremendous unlocking of the gifts that are God-given residing in us all for the blessing of us all. And I want to wrap all of that up with a verse from 1 Peter 4. Each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others. Amen.